Day at a time, day by day, Paul tells us. And it's one thing to say, I'm going to live for God for the next 30 years. That's hard to say that. You don't know what you're going to face and what you're going to be up against. And I hope that you would live for God for 30 years. But we can say, I'm going to live for God today. And then tomorrow we can get back up and say, I'm going to live for God today. And we can do it one day at a time with the Holy Spirit's help, and praise God for it. Tonight, please, Matthew 27, and we'll pick up in verse 3, Matthew 27 and verse 3. Tonight, we're going to read this portion, this section of Scripture here, and I was thinking in my head that we were done with Judas, but the Lord brought out this text tonight, and this is his end. And as we've looked at the king through the book of Matthew, Matthew portrays Jesus as king. That's the focus there. Tonight we see the consequences of betraying the king. Consequences of betraying the king. And look at verse 3 if you would. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for us to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. Heavenly Father, we call on you now, asking for your will to be accomplished with this preaching time. Lord Jesus, would you bring out and help us in this text, Lord? You are the Word of God. You have given us this written Word of God here. And I pray that, Lord, you would convict us through it. Help us, Holy Spirit of God, and speak to us. And may we, Lord, respond as you want us to tonight. Bring out the truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Tonight, the consequences of betraying the king. And I want you to see four things tonight. I want you to see the remorse, the return, the rope, and the reputation. And we'll get to all those. But I want you to see that as we're going through this text tonight. And verse 3, again, it's the remorse. The remorse. And I want you to see this. Then Judas, which had betrayed him. That phrase would stick with Judas. Even when they're referring to Judas before he does the betrayal in the timeline of the Gospels, he's still referred to as the one who would betray him. And it says, when he saw that he was condemned. Now, it's easy sometimes to get mixed up with the he's and the she's in here. But what he's talking about, when he saw that Jesus was condemned. Okay, I wonder about Judas sometimes. Remember, he's the one that's made the deal with these chief priests, with the Sanhedrin. He's the one that has sold Jesus because he lusted after those 30 pieces of silver. And he did the deal. The Bible says that the devil entered into him and he went out and made this happen. And so understand that, how can the devil enter into a disciple of Jesus Christ? It's because Judas was not saved. The Bible clearly calls him, Jesus called him in John 17, the son of perdition. In other words, the son of damnation. And Judas would die and go to hell because he was so fixed and his eyes focused on the physical things of this world. The Bible calls him a thief. He carried the purse of the disciples. He was the treasurer and he was the thief, and he was the treasurer and was a thief in the process there. He was focused on the physical. And it says here, he saw that he was condemned. I wonder, what was he thinking? You know, as I'm reading that text and trying to understand that, was Judas thinking that Jesus was going to somehow get out of the bondage that they had put him in? Did he think that maybe he would escape, or you know how sometimes the Bible says he just removed himself from the situation where the Lord Jesus can do that? He's able to just come and go as he pleases, and sometimes he just removed himself. They went to take him and he removed himself because it wasn't his time yet. And maybe he's thinking that's going to happen. He's obviously seen Jesus do some magnificent miracles up until this point. He's been with Christ a long time. And maybe he's thinking that Jesus is going to make his triumphant exit somehow and get out of this. But we know that the Word of God, the Scripture says, that he must die for the sins of the people. And he was putting all these things into place for a reason, allowing this to happen. But Judas, Lord said once, what did he say? He said, cursed is the man, or it would have been better if the man wouldn't have been born as the man that would betray him. And Judas is called the son of perdition. There's one other person in the Scripture that's referenced as the son of perdition. And I believe that's in Revelation. It's the Antichrist. And so two men that were used as tools of Satan, and they were called the son of perdition, and Judas here being one of them. Now, it says he repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver. I looked up the word repented himself. It's one Greek word, those two English words, repented himself, one Greek word, and I looked it up, and it literally means to have care afterward or to regret. To have care afterward or to regret. In other words, he saw Jesus, and after he's been questioned by the Sanhedrin, by those chief priests and all of that, he's going to be taken to Pilate, where Pilate had the authority to actually get something done. He had the authority to put him to death or to try him in that Roman court there. And so when Judas is seeing this happen, when they take him and they start heading towards Pilate's hall there, the Bible says he repented himself. He began to have care afterwards. He began to regret it. Now, there's one thing to regret something, to be sorry for something, and it's another thing to have genuine, godly repentance over something. There's a big difference on that. Moms and dads, we understand that pretty well. It's one thing to say, I'm sorry. It's another thing to show genuine repentance and confess your sin and seek forgiveness. There's a big difference, yes? 1 John doesn't say, be sorry for your sin. No, it says, confess your sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Because notice, Judas didn't go to Jesus. He went back to the chief priests. He said, look what he says in the next verse. He says, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. Innocent here, the idea that he's guiltless, he's without sin, he's innocent. He's not guilty of what they say he's guilty of. It's interesting that he acknowledged that, but yet he was still unsaved. You know that can happen? You ever talk to somebody who acknowledges that Jesus exists? You ever talk to somebody that acknowledged that he was the Son of God? You ever talk to somebody and they know the Bible, but yet they just have not received Christ as Savior? I've talked to many people that way. The Bible does not say, know some of the Scriptures and thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, know who Jesus was or is and thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say that. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Very clearly it says that. That is genuine repentance of, I am a sinner, I must approach Jesus. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's not just knowing who he is or acknowledging that all this took place. It's receiving his salvation that he's bought and paid for. Saying, Lord, you are the Savior, and I need your blood to redeem me for my sins. I need your blood that you paid, that you spilled on Calvary to pay for my sin debt. And Lord, I'm asking because you rose from the dead and you are God that you save me. Thou shalt be saved if you do that. That's what the Bible teaches. And Judas here did not do that. What did he do? He went to the chief priest and said, I'm sorry. I regret what I've done. And it's interesting, he throws down the silver. And we'll get to that in a moment. But it wasn't genuine repentance. I don't know how you as a mother or a father in here are raising your children with that. I mean, everybody has to ask for forgiveness. We're all sinners. We all have to ask for forgiveness from time to time. Even moms and dads have to ask for forgiveness. We ought to lead the example, lead the way in that. And teaching our children how to ask for forgiveness. Dads, you know when you blow it. You know when you get heated and when you get a little bit too much in your flesh and you blow your stack and you do something wrong. And we ought to ask for forgiveness from our wives and from our children. Well, I just don't do that. I'm the man of the house. Well, what happens is, listen now, what happens is we are teaching our wives and our children that we don't have to ask for forgiveness. That there's some that are above the law. That's a wrong point of teaching there. That's a prideful thing of teaching. Now, I do believe fathers and mothers ought to be respected and they ought to be followed no matter what. I believe that a children ought to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. The Bible teaches that. But there's nothing wrong with a parent teaching a child that they're wrong because the child already knows it. You ask Adeline. Yes, I'm pointing you out. Don't go ask her tonight just because I said that. But she knows exactly when I've messed up. When I've come in and I've dealt with something a little bit too heated. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Where I didn't come in calmness in the Spirit of God. I came in the flesh. Yeah. Why can't she see Daddy ask for forgiveness on that? I remember as a young father just learning how to correct my children, and I'm growing through this. I remember correcting Adeline way too heated once, and it scared me. I don't want to be that. I have no desire for that. And I had to ask her forgiveness. I had to ask Marie's forgiveness, and I had to make a change and say, my flesh is not going to. Well, I'm not going to do that way. That is wrong, and I'm not going to do it that way. God does not respond to me that way. Why would I respond to my daughter that way? You follow me on that? Yes, and there's comes times where we have to grow. Now, moving forward with that, we must have genuine repentance when you get saved. And the Lord, I believe here what God is teaching us on this, he didn't go to the Lord. He went to man. Here's a great time to consider that. When we have to get right, we start with the Lord. We got to get our sin confessed to God and not to other people first. We got to go to God first. Remember when Joseph said that to Potiphar's wife? He said, how could I do this thing and sin against my God? He didn't say Potiphar. He didn't say her. He said God. And we have to acknowledge that when we do these, when we sin, we sin against God. We must start with him. Now, I think we ought to get right with other people as well, but it starts with God. It starts with God. We got to do that thing. And notice here as we move on, look at verse, if you will, that was the remorse. Look at the return. It says in verse 4, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. Now, the return. He despised that thing that he once lusted after. Isn't that something? He despised that thing that he once lusted after. That silver was pretty important to him in the beginning, and after a while it became disgusting to him, a reminder of his guilt and his shame for betraying the innocent blood, and he throws it down. 30 pieces of silver, throws it down in the temple. I don't want it. Even if you don't take it, I'm done with it. I don't want it anymore. And he goes out and leaves it. I was talking about that this morning a little bit, but understand when we get into sin, some things that we lust after, you know what the Bible says? It says, lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's what the Bible says in James chapter 1. And I talked about this morning of that flashy front door of sin as it draws you in, and the devil trying to get us to follow a certain temptation, and we give in to that, and then we go out the back door and we realize, man, we don't want to be here. This ain't as flashy and nice anymore. And this is where the trash goes out. This is where all the grease is going out the back door. This is where all the disgusting things are. This is a place where it doesn't look so great from this point of view now. Talking about that woman in Proverbs 5, I believe the Bible says something that man does that which seemeth right to him, but in the end are the ways of death. We chase after the flesh. We chase after sin, but in the end of it is death. Sin cometh to death. We understand those things. The return here. Think about Amnon. Remember who Amnon was? I believe he was he the oldest of David, or at least one of David's boys? And Amnon, it said, had a friend that helped him do wrong. And the Bible says he lusted after his half-sister, and he forced her. And when he was done, he hated her with more passion than he lusted after, than he loved her in the beginning. Why? Because he looked at her and he was reminded of what he had just done, and he was disgusted with himself. He wished he could have taken it back, and he couldn't. He said, I don't want to look at you anymore. And that's what happens with sin. It haunts us. It haunts us. Can a man hide fire in his bosom and not be burned? Listen, that sin that you have said no to and said no to and said no to for so long, if you say yes to it, it will never leave you. Now, you can ask for forgiveness of it, and you can find forgiveness of it, and you can find cleansing of it. But you know what's going to happen? The accuser of the brethren, every moment he gets. Yeah, I know who you are and I know what you've done. And don't think I don't know it, because I saw it and I watched it and I know it. I got it written down. And I will constantly remind you of it, because you are a sinner and you are filthy and you are not worthy to be preaching in that pulpit, to be sitting in that church pew, to be leading that Sunday school class, rerunning that bus. Yeah, I know who you are. I know who you are, and he'll never let you forget it. And it will haunt you and haunt you and haunt you. That's what the devil does, and that's what sin does, that guilt, that weight. And he tried to go back, and he tried to get rid of the silver, and he hated that thing that he once lusted after. I know God's kind of had a theme on this the last few services. Listen now, say no to this world and to the sin that is trying to get in your life. And the devil, he knows exactly where your weakness is, and he's trying, and he keeps throwing at it. If he can get a mother or a father in here, he can take out a family. If he can get somebody that's got some kind of position, maybe an assistant pastor or a pastor or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher, he can take some others out with you. If he can get one of the children in here, a prominent family of the church, he can take somebody else out with you. Listen, he's fighting and he's trying and he's going to keep going. He knows his days are short, the Bible says. Beware, 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 and don't give in to sin. Don't give in to your flesh. Don't give in. You know, what's the Bible say? Hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Wow. That God would help us. He always gives a way of escape, does he not? He says that. And what do? We hide the word of God in our hearts so that the Lord can bring it to our mind and give us. How do we fight off Satan? We fight him with the word of God. That's not just a nice little saying. It works. It's worked for me. It's worked for many of you. I've seen it work in other people's lives. And that's what we need to do. Tonight, I want you to see the rope. In verse 5, it says he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Interesting. His sin led to great guilt, and he couldn't deal with it. He didn't repent of it. He didn't have genuine repentance to the Lord, and he couldn't handle it, and he went and hung himself. Hanged himself, the Bible says here. Who else did that same thing? Couldn't deal with it. I believe Judas is the New Testament version of the man Ahithophel in the Old Testament. Ahithophel was David's counselor, his right-hand man. And Ahithophel sided with Absalom when Absalom took the kingdom away from his father, deceived him. And his father had to run for his life for a time just to be out in the wilderness a bit to not be killed immediately and figure out how he was going to go about this thing. And as the Bible says, Absalom was in Jerusalem acting as if he was king, even put a tent on the king's house. Went in unto his concubines, the Bible says. How awful and wretched that would be. And Ahithophel, when he spoke, was as if the oracles of God, the Bible says. And yet he sided with this boy. I believe there might have been some hatred or some bitterness in his heart. If you do some study to that, Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather. Might have been some bitterness there. He that he couldn't forgive David, and he let that bitterness grow in his heart and gave way to sin. But listen, he did the same thing. When his counsel wasn't followed, he went home, and the Bible says he put his house in order and hanged himself. Now the Bible, before we go off on a wrong deal here, the Bible is not condoning suicide here. It's talking about men that were in sin and full of guilt that couldn't deal with it, didn't deal with it, and they went home and killed themselves. I've had to deal with this recently with some folks. Listen now, the Bible never says once, while we're talking about it, it never says once that if you kill yourself that you're going to hell. It doesn't say that. I believe some people take that because Judas was the son of perdition. He did go to hell and he did hang himself. But the Bible never says once that that is the consequence of that sin. God can forgive sin in committing suicide just as he can forgive sin of any kind, because my God is able. His blood is so much greater than my sin, and he can forgive anything. The Bible never says that once, that suicide would be send you to hell. However, I do believe it takes the glory away from God and puts it all on yourself. And I have dealt with folks time and time again because somebody has taken their life and everybody else is left in shambles. The problem is we're not thinking about everybody else. We're thinking about me. We're thinking about right here. Right here where I'm at. And if you're dealing with somebody, I don't know why God has me on this, but he does. If you're dealing with somebody that has those suicidal thoughts, who is dealing and struggling with that, bring their mind around to somebody that they love that would be affected by that. Because that's exactly what they need. Somebody that they love that they wouldn't want to hurt. And they need that reminder to bring their mind back around to, hey, I've got to press on for this person's sake. And then oftentimes that's what it takes. That's what's needed there. But let's move on. We saw the rope here. I want you to go with me, if you would. Keep your finger here. Go with me to Acts chapter 1, please. Go to Acts chapter 1. There's more than just that he hung himself. Acts chapter 1 gives us a unique picture into more of that. Acts chapter 1, please. And Peter here is preaching. I want you to think about Peter just for a moment. And he's talking to a group of people here. Did Peter not mess up? Of course he messed up. We just dealt with that recently, didn't we? and how he denied the Lord three times when he said the very same day, "I won't do this. Though everybody else deny you, I'm going to be true to you." And he still did it. He did it exactly the way the Lord said he would. And he messed up big. Every single one of the Gospels shows that Peter had done that thing. Everybody knew that Peter messed up. All four of them that wrote the Gospels knew that Peter messed up. And yet Peter, we find Peter later having victory over that and preaching God's word and seeing God work through him. There's a difference between being sorry for something and having genuine repentance and getting right with God. The Bible says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. I believe perhaps he went back to the Garden of Gethsemane or back to that upper room where the Lord told him about that, and he got right with God. Now, the Bible doesn't say that, but there's evidence afterwards that he did get right, because we see the Holy Spirit of God working in him and empowering him to preach messages where 3,000 and 5,000 get saved. And God used him very well, very, very strongly, and all of that. I want you to see here Peter speaking here. Obviously, at this point, Judas is gone, and they're looking for a replacement. Look at Acts 1, look at verse 15. The Bible says, "And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, 'The number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry.'" Now, verse 18. "Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and watch it now, falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out." Peter giving a little insight to what happened there to Judas. He didn't just hang himself and hang on a rope there. The Bible says he fell headlong. That means he fell head first. What it kind of sounds like, and we only have one verse to go off of on this thing, but it sounds like he messed up his hanging. That maybe he went to some height and he tried to hang himself, but he messed it up. And maybe the rope snapped, or maybe the branch snapped, or maybe the thing that he was hanging on broke, or that he slipped, or something happened, and he fell headlong, head first down, and the Bible says here that he burst asunder in the midst and his bowels gushed out. That's not normal with hanging. Why did that happen? I can't tell you that. We don't know that. We have one verse in Peter, understanding what happened in those days, he would have known. I mean, he would have been probably either seen it or had to deal with it afterwards. As being one of the 12, maybe, perhaps, I don't know. But here it says that he fell headlong and burst in the midst and his bowels gushed out. That doesn't sound very pleasant. Suicide is never very pleasant. It is never very pleasant. And it hurts people. It's tough to deal with. And I've spoken to spouses that have had to walk in and find their loved one in pieces. It's not kind. That's not helpful. And we need to think about what we are requiring other people to go through when we think, this is just, I'm done. I'm over. I'm going to end it. Listen now, it's not kind, it's not helpful, it's not what God wants for you. It's not the way out. Suicide shouldn't be an option, folks. It should not be an option. I've watched families just fall apart because of somebody who took it upon themselves to say, "I'm done, I want out." Years and decades later, still trying to pick up the pieces and deal with those things. Folks, if you are having trouble, please find somebody to help you and talk to. Come to me. Come to our deacons. Maybe it's another, maybe a lady in the church, and talk to somebody. And don't think that, that's my option. No, it shouldn't be your option. That's not what God has for you, and it's not what He wants for your family, to go through that and to suffer with that. Especially children. didn't she talk to me? And here, Judas, his hanging was not very pleasant, and God teaches us that. Here's the rope. Finally, I want you to see the reputation. Look at the same, we're in Acts 1. Look at verse 19. Look at the reputation. The Bible says, "And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem." It was known unto all. Everybody knew about it. This is not something that's easily hidden. One of the 12, one of the men that were with Jesus, he betrayed him. Man, he sold him for 30 pieces, and now he's on trial. Now the whole city is saying, "Crucify him, crucify him," because that one man sold him. Oh, by the way, that one guy, he didn't even make it through the night. He went and hung himself, and he fell headlong and burst asunder. Everybody would have known about it. And his reputation was completely destroyed. How's your reputation tonight? Did you know that if there's problems with your reputation, with your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, it can be fixed? Did you know that? Peter is a prime example of that. Again, I say every one of the Gospels talks about his denial of the Lord, and yet his reputation was fixed when he dealt with it and when the Holy Spirit started to use him and he got up, a just man falleth seven times and riseth again, and he got to be used of God. And in the book of Acts, we're not talking about really too much anymore. We remember, but it's not like it's hung over his head that he denied the Lord, because he had victory over that and he moved on. But yet, Judas didn't get past it. Jesus would use someone else as a preaching illustration by saying three words. He preached a whole illustration. Everybody knew what he was talking about. Someone else was speaking, and he said, "Remember Lot's wife." Her reputation. Everybody knew that story. And God said, "Don't even turn back." And she looked back. She couldn't let go of the world. She turned to a pillar of salt. The Bible talks about in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 how the dead flies make the ointment in the apothecary to stink, cast forth a stinking savor. And we strive and we build a whole life of trying to live for the Lord, and one thing will ruin your reputation. Listen now, don't give in to that one thing. But if you have messed up, deal with it. And deal with it and move on and ask for forgiveness. And you can rebuild that testimony. It takes time. Trust has to be regained. It takes time, but it can happen. And praise God for that. Praise God for that. Tonight, we've seen the remorse, the return, the rope, and the reputation. For your reputation to be rebuilt, it can be rebuilt with genuine repentance and a walk with God. It can happen. Listen, let's not go the way of Judas. Nobody names their kid Judas for a rightfully good reason. Okay? He didn't get saved because he was focused on the physical, and lusting after things in this world had his attention. He never turned to Christ. He never put his faith in Christ. Okay? He sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, and he regretted it, but he didn't get it right. He couldn't deal with the guilt and the weight. That's what the devil does. He uses you and abuses you, and then, listen now, and when he's done with you, he throws you away like trash. And Judas thought his only option was, "I'm going to go hang myself." Don't listen to the devil. He's not your friend. He has nothing good for you, though he's got something dangling in front that you think you want. Don't follow it. If you know it to be wrong, don't do it. Don't do it. Say no to that stuff. Why? Because the end of it is death. The end of its death. Lord, help us tonight, please. Thank you for the example here in Judas that you're bringing out in the Word. Thank you, Lord. It's difficult to talk about the betrayer. It's difficult, Lord, to see his end. It's difficult tonight to talk about suicide and these things that many in here in this room have dealt with at different times. Lord, it's so difficult. And I ask your blessing and help, please, upon us as a church. And somebody in here tonight maybe has had thoughts of that, maybe has gone that way and thinking, well, I've messed up, so my only option is to just end my life. Lord, I've known preachers that have done it. I've known godly people in good churches that have done it. And it leaves a family just in pieces, just dealing with that afterwards. And Lord, may that never be an option. May we understand as your people that we can come to you and we can have genuine repentance with you and get it right. And sometimes that means going to other people, Lord, and getting some things right as well. And I ask that you would teach us and help us with this. That, Lord, we not go to some man, Lord, we don't have a high priest anymore in the world of men. Lord, we don't have that anymore because you are the high priest. And we are to come to you, Lord, and ask for forgiveness. And I pray that we would. And Lord, I pray tonight that, God, there would be some men in here that would just say, Lord, help me. Lord, I've been tempted often on this one thing here. I've been dealing with this one thing here. Help me to be strong and say no to it. Help me to hide the Word of God in my heart to not give in to that thing that'll haunt me for the rest of my life. Maybe some women in here are the same. Maybe some children or some teenagers in here. Lord, help me to say no and to resist those youthful lusts. And help me to go after godliness and help me to go the way the Lord wants me to. And I pray, God, you just work in hearts tonight. Bless this invitation, Lord. And would you have your way, please, in us and tonight as the piano plays. Heads are bowed.